Tonight's daf is daf ayin ches, so we got the last two narrow lines down. Mara says, it quotes a parenthesis we've been discussing about walking through water on Yom Kippur to be makabel pnei rabo, to go listen to a shir. So Gemara says, normally don't read the parentheses, but now we will. Tenech Yom HaKippurim Deleka Minah. So I understand it makes sense that one could pass through the water in Yom Kippur because he's not wearing shoes anyways. So there's nothing, there's no concern. But Shabbos, Dikam Minah Mai. So he says, but Shabbos, where we are wearing shoes, there's a concern. What's the concern? So if you look at Rashi, three lines down from the top, he says, Shabbos, Dikam Minah Mai, Mi Shari Lavor B'mayim. Are you allowed to pass through the water wearing shoes? There's a concern that maybe your shoe is going to fall off, and then you're going to pick it up out of the river and then start carrying it across, and of course there's not going to be an Erev, there'll be Isser Hotza. Yom Kippur, the assumption right now is you're wearing nothing at all, you're wearing mamish barefoot, that's what they're assuming at this point. So therefore Yom Kippur, we can understand, but Shabbos, where you certainly are wearing shoes, there's a concern. So Gemara says, Amar Nehemiah Chasnei de Ben Nesia. Nehemiah was the son-in-law of the Nasi. He testified, Ana Chazisi, I saw in my own eyes the Rebbe Ami, Rebbe Asim, de Matu, or Kuma de Maya, that they passed through a river, Vavru Derech Malbush, and they were wearing shoes, and it was Shabbos. So Gemara says, okay, fine, Tenach Minal. Minal shoe makes sense, but sandal Mai, but Ika Maik Lamemar, sandal, which, as Rashi explains, last four wide lines down from the top, sandal mai she'enu yachal ha'doka. You can't put the sandal in very tight. Ulekasher yafa b'raglo k'min manel. It's not going to stay on as well. So there's more of a concern that the sandal might fall off. So is that permitted on Shabbos? So Amar Rav Nuichuma Ana Chazisa. He testified that I saw the Ravina da'aver derech malbush. He did wear such a sandal on Shabbos, passing through the water. So we see everything's permitted on Shabbos as well. Rav Ashi Amar sandal lechachila lo. He said that one should not wear a sandal. A minal, a shoe, he would allow one to pass through the water, but not wearing a sandal because it might fall off. Gemara quotes a Maisa Reish Kalusa Ikla lehagronia lebei Rav Nasan. One time the Reish Kalusa visited this area, he went to the house of Rav Nasan. He was giving a shir. So Rafram the Chula Rabbanan Asala Pirka. So Rafram and all the other Tamid Chachamim came to the house of Rav Nasan. They had to pass through water apparently to get there and to listen to the shir. Ravina lo asa. Ravina didn't come to the shir. Lamachar the very next day on Sunday, Boy Rafram Lafuki the Ravina Medaita the Reish Kalusa. Rafram inquired from Ravina why he didn't show up. He asked this in front of the Reish Kalusa, so the Reish Kalusa shouldn't be upset. I mean, there's a reason. Reish Kalusa was very insulted. Ravina was a well-known person, and he said Ravina didn't show up to the shir. He was very insulted. So Rafram wanted to explain to the Reish Kalusa why he didn't show up. So he asks Ravina, why didn't you show up? So Amrlei, my time alo asa ma'ar lepirka, why didn't you come to the shir? So Amrlei, he says, hava kaivli kare, I had a pain in my foot. See, bari l'chala mesa misani, so why didn't you wear shoes? So Gava de Karahava, there's a on the bottom of my foot where the shoe's going to not help. It's going to cause additional pain by me pressing down. So then he says, fine, so wear a sandal where it's not as tight. It gives you a little bit more space and room. You should have wore a sandal and passed through the river that way. So Amalei, he says, or Kama de Maya Hava Borcha. I have to have, where I live, I need to pass through the river. And so he says, so what? Should put this sandal on and walk through the water. Didn't we say above that Ravina himself did this? So he says, which interesting, ends up being a steer within Ravina. He says, Amar lehu lo savar la mar laha damar v'ashi sandal l'chachila lo. Don't you hold of Ravashi hold that l'chachila a person shouldn't walk through with a sandal? So therefore he couldn't go over to the shir because he couldn't wear shoes. So the problem is the stira, because Ravina above was the individual who actually did wear sandal derech malbush on Shabbos, passing through the water. So I don't know what the change is. He lost it, you're saying? And he learned his lesson?
He only went once.
He learned his lesson. I don't know if anybody asks his question or not.
Ah.
Yeah. Tosas Yeshanim asks this question, apparently. Let's see if it's a small Tosas Yeshanim. Usually they're pretty big here. You see, Tosas Yeshanim, it's Dira Mascha Amr Lei. We all have different sorts of dafs. On mine, it's seven lines up from the bottom, if that helps you out at all. But he asks, Amr Lei, Lo Savar Mar Laha, the Amr Vashi, Tzanda Lechachil, Lo? Kashali, Ha Rav Rechuma, Hu Da Amr Leil. Didn't Rav Rechuma say earlier, Anachaziz Ravino, Davar Derech Malbush, our question. So he says, Veshema Zeraya Leperish Rebbe, Shiraga Leperish Detre Ravina Havu. Apparently, two different Ravinas, that's what Rebbe felt, his Rebbe. And whose Rebbe was. Inami, alternatively, Nami Dechui Dechala Ravina Avalo Sovarkain. Ravina really didn't want to go to the shir, it sounds like. He didn't want to go to the shir. He just, he's giving the excuse that they could have bought. So they bought the excuse, and fine, Ben Yechanami, he personally felt that you can. But that's what he says. Okay, interesting. Gemara now says, Tani Yehuda bar Grogros, Aser Leishev Agave Tina B'Yom HaKippur. It's Aser to sit on some wet, some moist mud on Yom Kippur in order to cool off. Why? Says Rashi. Is it Rashi here? No Rashi. Oh, here we go. Agave Tina. Shelachluach Tit Havi Oneg Karler Chitza. It's similar to Rachitza. It's bathing in a little bit. Some of the moisture is going to ooze up. So Amr of Yeshub and Levi, Ubatina Matpachas, we're talking about mud that's somewhat moist. It can be dry, has to be where it's moist. And Amr Abai says further, it has to be wet enough that if it were to touch another object, that other object would still be wet as well. That's the sheer of how moist it has to be for it to be bechlal this iser. Amr of Yehuda, Mutter let stanim beperos. But you are allowed to cool off fruit. You could jump in a big barrel of fruit if you want. That's going to be a little bit cool. Yehuda mitstanin bekra. He actually did this. He cooled himself off with some gourds. And Rabba mitstanin biyunuka. He actually cooled himself off with the skin of a baby. The baby's skin a little bit cooler than ours. The temperature's a little bit lower, I guess. So he'd cool off with the skin of the baby. Rava mitstanin bekasa de kasma. He would take some silver, a silver goblet, and use that to cool himself off. So Amar Rapapa says, Kasa de Kaspa, Malay Aser. If the silver goblet is full of water, though, it's Aser because it's a concern it might tip and be Bechal Rechitza. And Chaser, but if it's less, if it's not full to the top, then that would be Shari. Because obviously, when the coast is filled with water, it's going to get more moist and the condensation, the outside will be more cooling. So if it's less, it's not filled to the top, that's permitted. But he says, then the Pachra, Pachra I think is some type of earthenware. So it says, idi aser, whether it's full or not full, if there's some level of water, it's aser completely, because mishum de mishchal shachil. Rashi explains, polit maim shebolea, it's going to, the water is going to come out from the other end, and that's going to be a violation of rechitza, even if the cup is chaser. Rav Papa, or just maybe regular Rav, Amar kasa de kas bechaser, nami aser mishum de mizdarif. He thought even a silver cup that is not filled to the top, but has some water, it's aser because there's a concern that maybe he's going to drop it, might slip out of his hands, and cause an iser rechitza. Now, Ze'ira bar Chama ushbizchen de Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yeshub ben Levi, udekula rabbanan de Kesari. Ze'iri was the host of many of these great Talmidei Chachamim. So Amar Leiter Rav Yosef, he once said to Rav Yosef, who was the Berei de Rabbi Yeshub ben Levi, he says to Rav Yosef, who was a son, Rabbi Yeshub ben Levi, Bar Ari, you, the son of a lion, the son of your father, was such a great gadol. Ta'em lecha milsa mal yasa. I'm going to tell you something nice, dava avid avuch, that your father used to do. What he used to do is to take matpachas hayalau. He had a certain rag of some sort, and the erev yom kippur and erev yom kippur. The shorah also b'maim. He'd soak this rag in water. Va'oso so kimin kalim negum. Then he would squeeze it out to make it like a dry piece of cloth. If it had a little bit of coolness and moisture on it enough, even after he squeezed it out, and he would rub his hands and his face on it to cool him off on Yom Kippur. Erev Tisha B'Av, Shara also B'Maim, he'd do the same thing, soak it in water, Erev Tisha B'Av, Ulamacha, the next day, Mavir Agavi Einav, and also he would, but it sounds like from this case, he wouldn't squeeze it out, he wouldn't make it like Kalim in a Genuvim, he'd just let it sit overnight, and it's going to obviously be more moist the next day than by Yom Kippur case, and he'd rub that over his eyes. The chain so too ki also rabba bar mari amar be'erev tishabav mevin lo batpachas v'shor also b'mayim u'menicha tachas miroshosav. He would leave it below his head overnight. U'lemachar mekanech panav yad v'raglav, and the next day he would wipe his hands, his face, and his feet. Be'erev yom kippurim, but on erev yom kippur he'd mevin lo batpachas v'shor also b'mayim v'osa so kimin kalim. But by yom kippur, where it's more severe, it's a deraisa perhaps by rechitza, so then he'd first have to squeeze it out, make them into kalim genuvim ulamacha. Then the next day you could be mavira al gavi enav. So then Amar le Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says the Rabbi Yirmiya bar Tachlifa ipcha Amrslan. You told us it was the opposite. Vosiv nechas chischita. The opposite they thought, which is a strange havamina, that maybe only by Tishrav you'd have to squeeze it out, but not by Yom Kippur. And they said you can't do that because there's a kasha from schita. Because if you don't squeeze it out every Yom Kippur, you let it sit overnight. and Yom Kippur, and then next you put it on your face, there's a concern of schita on Yom Kippur by you pressing against your face, which is one of the concerns, of course, by using baby wipes. Baby wipes has the moisture inside, some of them at least. It's all question of metzias usually, but when you press the baby wipes, it causes the whatever's inside, the water, the soap, to come out, and that's a violation of schita. So therefore, Erev Yom Kippur, you have to squeeze it out before Yom Kippur begins. By Tisha B'Av, you could let it stay overnight that way. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rabba bar Bar Chana, Shalu es Rabbi Elazar. They asked the following question to Rabbi Elazar. Zokein v'yoshe b'yeshiva, the elderly man who's sitting in yeshiva for many, many years in Kolel. Tzarech litol rishus lahatir b'choros o ein tzarech. Does he have to ask permission before he's matir b'chor? Right, the Gemara tells us in the first parak of Sanhedrin that in order to paskin shilas, you have to get not smicha of Moshe Rabbeinu, but you have to have rishus. It's not called, we call it smicha. But really, you need a license. You need a tzitz rishus to allow you to paskin shilas when it comes to bas v'chalav and avelis and whatever case of yardaya or chayim. So then they talk about, what about yadin yadin? Choshe mishpat, a whole other area of halacha. So you need rishus also to paskin shilas of choshe mishpat. The Gemara there also asks, what about being matil? It's called yatir yatir. We don't have that anymore. Rebbe spent 18 months on the farm, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, to learn the mumim. So you also need rishus to be matil mum. So Gemara wants to know, what about a guy who's been learning for so many years in yeshiva? He's 75, hasn't stopped learning since he started. Does he need to have rishus to learn? L'chor, he knows all this stuff. So Gemara says, my kama baile, what's the shaila here? So hachi kami baile. He asks, ki ha da'amar rav idi bar abin, davar zehi nich lehem lebe nisiya, kidei leskader bo. So this matter, they allowed the Bein Nasi, the house of the Nasi, they granted him this permission in order to liskada, to be strengthened. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, liskada lashon gedula, to elevate them. So it sounds like the Netis Rishus has to come from the Nasi, and they said, if you want to go get like a marriage license, you need to go down to like the town of Hempstead to take care of it, even though it could be done anywhere else. You want to show some level of kavod to the town of Hempstead. So to here, to show kavod to the Beis Nasi, you have to go down to the house of the Nasi to get Rishus. That would just to add, to bolster up their kavod. So now the question is, but what if the guy, Tzarech Lita Rishus, Odilma came in the Zakim Yoshi B'Shiva in Tzarech? But the guy is such an elderly man. Does he have to be schlepped down to the house of the Nasi to get permission? Does he need to show the kavo that he's bowing down to the Bein Nasi? Maybe this guy doesn't need to do that. And maybe it's enough for him to just start pasking shilas about mumin. So Amr Reb Yitzadok ben Chaluka al Raglev, he stood up, Reb Tzadok, the Amr, he says, Ani Raisi, I saw as Reb Yossi ben Zimra Shezakim Yoshi B'Shivahaya. V'Amr B'Malim Mizik Neshelzeh. And he stood in front of the elders of the Nasi. So even a Zakin needs to schlep over to the house of the Nasi to get Rishus. So Amar Le Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says to him, Lo kachaya maisa. That wasn't the maisa. You misunderstood what happened there. Kachaya maisa. The maisa is as follows. Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Kohen Haya. He wasn't asking for Rishus of a generally paskin shilas about matamum. He was a Kohen. And you know what the shilah was? Bahacha kami baile. This shilah was halacha k'Rabbi Meir. It's a Gemara Mishnah in Becharos. So we hold like Rabbi Meir. Damar hachoshe b'davar lo danuv lo meidu. A kohen, the Gemara tells us that kohens were choshed him that he might say that his own animal, we gave the bechor to a kohen. So now he can't eat it. And if there's Beis HaMikdash, he brings it as a carbon. But if there's no Beis HaMikdash, he needs to wait for the bechor to have a mum prior to him eating it. So he says, I'm a Kohen, I'm a Rav, I could give my own answer, I'll give my own psak and say it's a good mum. So we don't trust him, we don't trust Kohanim when it comes to mumim. We don't trust them either when it comes to Shvias. There are a number of areas of halacha, we don't trust Kohanim. So Reb Meir says, just like we don't trust the Kohen with respect to his own animal, he also can judge other Kohanim's b'choros. So do we pass him like that, Rabbi Meir? Oh, Dilma, or perhaps we hold halacha k'Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the Amar Neman hu al shel chaveiro, veino Neman al shel atmo. He's not trusted on his own bechor, but he is trusted on somebody else's. That was the shaila that Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra had asked the Bein Nasi. And in Pashalei, they answered him, halacha k'Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, that you are allowed to paskin shailas for other kohanim, just not for yourself. The Sukkot in Barley, once he was there in the house of the Nasi, he asked the second question. He asked, Ma'u lates b'sandal shel shoim? Can you go out with a certain type of sandal that's made of this material called sham? It's something made of reeds, I think. What do they say in English?
Rush,
okay. I think it's...
I know rush is.
Okay.
I have rubber.
I made rubber.
Your rubber in your
rush,
Hebrew?
Rush is it.
I wrote something. Rashi says minguma.
Uh-huh.
Like material.
That's read that. I have reading material here in the sifta, but okay, it could be rushes also. That maybe I don't know rushes. Okay, so you think it's rubber also? Okay, some other material that grows from the ground. It seems it's not typical. It's obviously not leather, so it's not a typical sandal. So what's halach? Is that permitted on Yom Kippur? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani al Raglav, he stood up. Amar, I says, Ani Reisi et Rabbi Shimon Levi sheyotze b'sandal shel Shom Yom Kippurim. I saw him wear this type of shoe on Yom Kippur. V'amina lei b'tanis tzibur mar. So he says, I wanted to know. I asked him, Rabbi Shimon Levi, are you allowed to do this on Tanis Tzibur as well? When Rashi explained what's Tanis Tzibur, referring to Anigzal ha'gishamim, the Tanan Maseches Tanis also b'nilas ha'sandal. There seems to be a havamina that maybe Tanis Tzibur is more chomer than Yom Kippurim. Okay, so that was the Shaila. And he answered, Amalei lo shana, there's no difference. You're allowed to wear them on both of these days. Amar Rabba bar Barchana, Ani Reisi et Rabbi Elazar de Min Ninva, Sheyotze b'sandal shasham b'tanis tzibur. I saw he was wearing it on a tanis tzibur for a fast day, for lack of rain. Then I had asked him, B'yom HaKippur Mai, Yom Kippur, which is deraisa, and therefore more severe, are you allowed to also wear such a sandal? Amalei, he said, lo shana, no difference, you're allowed to as well. If Yehuda Nafik b'dihitani, he would walk out with dihitani. Dihitani is some type of material that grows from the grass also. I think the same material as sham, the reeds, the rush. And Abai Nafik b'dihutzi, dihutzi is, Rashi explains, from kapos tamarim, from date leaves of date leaves. And Rava Nafik b'divle, which is shel asavim, some type of grass material. And Rabba bar Rav Huna, karach sudra akrai v'nafik. Rav Huna, rather Rabba bar Rav Huna, would wrap his leg, his foot, in some type of cloth, and he'd go out that way. So you see, everyone is very has different types of shoes that they would wear, and they are all permitted. There's a discussion in the poskim where the person could wear Crocs nowadays. That's a shaila, I don't think it's so relevant anymore. They thought once upon a time Crocs were so comfortable, everyone would walk around them regularly during the day. People don't normally do that. And therefore, most poskim say it's permitted. But I think when they initially came out, they thought this was like the chash of a shoe to wear. Rabbi Yoshi came out saying that one shouldn't wear Crocs because it's no different than the rest of the year. But Lamaisa, I don't think it's true to that way anyways. Okay. Mark says, Masiv Rami Barchama, he asked the following question. Hakita Yotze Bekav Shelo Divrei Rabbi Meir. So this is a braisa that's in Maseches Shabbos, that a person who's missing, he's an amputee, he's missing a leg. So he has a fake leg instead, usually made of wood back then. So according to Rabbi Meir, he would be allowed to walk outside. It's not considered carrying, it's considered part of his body. A levush, he's wearing it. Rabbi Yossi Oser, he thought it was forbidden. He did not view this as a levush, and it's considered some level of hotzah. V'tani Allah, and on this machlokis, it's written, V'shavin sh'as latzeis bo b'yom ha'kippurim. But both parties agree that on Yom Kippur, it's Oser to wear on Yom Kippur. Okay, so Gemara says, so why, what's the shaila here? So it sounds like it's some level of comfort. If, you know, you can't wear it, it's some type of shoe, I guess. And you can't wear this type of shoe on Yom Kippur. Let's look at Rashi for a second. Rashi, help with this a little bit. Rashi just says, look at Rashi, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Oser, four lines down. Kisavar lab minalhu. It's not a shoe. Hov einu shava b'chol. Not everybody wears this, so that's not called a shoe. And therefore, it's asr to carry on Shabbos. Vafil hachi still shavin sh'asr latzeis bo b'yom ha'kippurim. They both agree it's asr to wear in Yom Kippur. Alma, afa gavdil Rabbi Yossi, la minalhu, afil hachi aser, even though on Yom Kippur, let's say you're not leaving the house on Yom Kippur, let's say you're in your own house on Yom Kippur, you still can't wear it, hu adin l'shel sham. So if you can't wear this type of a fake leg, so certainly you can't wear a material made of this rush or rubber. So Gemara says, there are very different cases. Amar Abai explains, hasam d'ispe ketisim. The reason why it's usher to wear the fake leg is because it's ketisim. There's some type of material, Rashi explained, ketisim are chatichas begadim katanos. Some small piece of cloth, shehem nochos lo lismoch shuko alem. So he puts it between wherever the leg ends to rest it. So it's somewhat comfortable on him on top of the wood. So that's some level of comfort. That's serving as a regular, that's too much tanig for him on Yom Kippur. So that's why it's Aser and Yom Kippur. On Shabbos, there's no Isser Tanig. So on Shabbos, according to one opinion, you could wear it because it's considered a shoe. But Yom Kippur, it's considered too comfortable of a shoe, and that's why it's Aser according to all opinions. So Amalei Rava says, V'lav manahu ketisin mashrile mana? So if it's not a shoe, do the ketisin make them into a mana? So this question is very unclear what this question means. There seem to be some gears issues. We're going to skip this question right now. But he asks, V'od, kol tanig delav minel hu b'yom kippurim mi'aser. So let's say we're going to assume that this leg is not a shoe. So now, just because it's comfortable for him, he can't wear it. You can't sit in a chair in Yom Kippur because it's comfortable. We didn't ask her all Tana. We only asked her that it was leather shoes, that were comfortable shoes. Rabba bar Rav Huna would put cloth around his actual foot and walk that way. So why should the guy missing a leg putting cloth above his, wherever the stump would end, why would that be any worse than what Rabba bar Rav Huna would do? Moreover, Midikasani, the end of this brisa says, Seifa, if it happens to be with the fake leg, has some cavity on top where you can place something called a base kibul, that's called a kli. Anything that has a base kibul is called a kli and can become tame. So if it has a base kibul where you can place the katisim inside of the wooden leg, so then that can become tame. The implication is, mechlal dereisha la b'deish like katisim askinim. Must be that the reisha is a case where there is no base kibul, there is no place for the katisim, it's just a wooden leg without any cloth in between. And yet we still say that everyone agrees it's usher to walk outside with such a fake leg on Yom Kippur. So Gemara concludes, Ella Amar Rava, Rava says, Liolam, really, the chuli alma minel hu, everyone agrees that this fake leg is considered a shoe. Ubishabis b'ha pligis, what's machlokas by Shabbos? Mar saver gazirin dilma mishtamet v'asili asuye dal amos. There's a concern that the leg might fall off, break of some sort, and he might carry it home, dal amos. Umar savalo gazirin, one thought, we're not gozer, we're not concerned that it's going to happen. So the guy's allowed to walk outside with a shoe on Shabbos. But by Yom Kippur, since it's considered a shoe, it's going to be aser. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, minalhu, hokach b'yom ha-kippurim aser, aval dihiti dihitani v'duhutza lav minalinu. So there's a big chiddush here. We're learning from Rashi right now. Rashi, we don't hold this way, I don't think. Rashi holds that it's also to wear shoes, any type of shoe. Only something that's not considered a shoe is permitted. So although you took grass and fashioned it to look like a shoe, that's not called a shoe. That's permitted. So that's why not only leather shoes are aser, rubber shoes, canvas shoes, Crocs, everything's aser according to Rashi. The only things that are not shoes, you just take a cloth wrapped around, only that's permitted. Socks, is socks considered a shoe? No, that's lechor permitted as well. We don't paskin this way, to my understanding. We assume just leather shoes are aser. Anything that's not leather, even though it's considered a shoe, certainly would be permitted. Okay. Mara says, now, quote to Bryce, Tanu Rabbanon, Tinokos mutarin bechulon chutz minilis hasanla. As we know, child is able to do all the things. They could wash hands, they could take a bath, and they could use oil. They could do everything except for nilis hasanla. Maishna nilis hasanla. There's a discussion, by the way, lemaskana, whether they really can't take a bath. We really say not to. But the only thing that we really obligate them to do is nilas hasanda. They have to remove their leather shoes. So maishna nilas hasanda. Why dafka that one? Damri inchi. People would say, avdulei. Because had he been wearing leather shoes, the kid can't get his shoes on his own. He can't tie his own shoes. So we must have tied the leather shoes on for him. So they want us to be choshish, that we're helping our children be involved in isurim. So therefore, don't wear leather shoes. So Gemara said, what do you mean? Hanach nami amri inish avdulei. You see the kid walk in with nice fresh hair, smells good, oil all over his skin. We're also going to think that the mother did that for him. So shouldn't that be the same concern? So he shouldn't do rechitza, there shouldn't be sicha, should be nothing. Or he says, no, ema me'esmal avdilei. Now if the guy walks in with very nice, clear-smelling hair, it's possible he took a shower the day beforehand and it still remained fresh. The oil still remained on his skin from the day before him. The guy with the leather shoes, the kid had leather shoes on, he wasn't wearing the same leather shoes. He took them off before he went to sleep. So Gemara says, Eimam Esmal Avdilei. So Gemara says, what do you mean? So Sandal Nami Eimam Esmal Avdilei. So to with a leather shoe. Maybe his mother put him on the shoes yesterday, Erev Yom Kippur, and he kept them on throughout the night. So Gemara says, Sandal Efshir, it's not possible to keep the shoes on overnight. The Esmal, it's not possible. Why? Avdilei. The Amr Shmuel, because Shmuel holds, Haiman de Bai Limitam, Tame de Misusa, person wants to taste a little bit of death, what should he do? The Simon Misane Veligne, one should put on shoes and go to sleep. So what we see from this Gemara, it sounds like it's not only is it the way to taste death, but it's also us to do that. We don't want a person to taste death. If you want to taste death, so then a person should sleep with shoes on. So we advise not to do this, so it must be us. So it's not possible then to have the kids leave the leather shoes on from before. So Gemara says, Well, wait a second. These issues are not that we're concerned who did the mother feed him, did the mother put the shoes on. It says, Mutar l'chachila. On Yom Kippur itself, we advise them, we recommend them, feed your children, give them to drink, bathe them. So what's pshat here? So Gemara says, you know the difference is between nilas sandal and other things? Ella, hanoch delav ribisaihu, gazi behu rabbanan. Those things were not necessary to help the children grow and develop. So we weren't gozer on, namely, nilas sandal. You don't need to wear leather shoes to help the child develop properly. But hanoch, but those ribisaihu, those which help the child develop, who lo gazi behu rabbanan, they were not gozer. Meaning a child needs to eat, needs to drink, needs to take a bath. So we say, we allow them to do that on Yom Kippur, because we don't want to stunt the growth at all. Damar Abaye said, Amri li Aim, mother, his mother was really a stepmother, said to me, Rabisa the Yanuka, the way a child grows is Maya Chamime, warm water, which is, by the way, why it's very important that Gemara Shabbos talks about after Bismillah, that you need to put the child in warm water because it helps them heal properly. And Umashcha Gadol Purta, and the oil on the skin also helps the child grow a bit. And Biasa Bekuscha, some egg dipped in some type of milk, Gadol Purta, also helps the child grow a bit. And Tivur Mana, breaking Kalim, Kiha, was also very important. Says Rashi, I think it's a Rashi here. Yeah, Tivur Mana, Lahaf Kilo Kalim Shaber Ulamos Tavaso. Give him some Kalim to break and to rip because it gets out their anger, their frustrations. Let's just take it out and have a good time. So the Kihad the Rabba would zavin luhumani geziza de pachra. He would buy some old glass that wasn't really needed anymore, and or pieces of pottery, and livnei, given to his children, matabrile, and they'd play and break them and take out their anger and their frustrations by breaking kalim. So these are all very normal as part of the development of the child. So that's why they're all permitted on Yom Kippur, with the exception of nilas sandal, which is not part of the development of the child, and therefore it would be asur. Gemara quotes from the Mishnah now, Hamelech la'kala yirchatzu espanem, a king and a kala could both wash their face on Yom Kippur, because the Gemara will explain now. Masisin Mani, who is the author of the Mishnah? Must be Rabbi Hananiah ben Tardion, he, the son of the Raisa, tells us. Hamelech la'kala lo yirchatzu espanem, the Tanakhama hold that a king and kala may not wash their face, but Rabbi Hananiah ben Tardion omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, he allows them to wash their face. Hachaya, a woman who just gave birth, lo tinel sasandal, she should not wear, even she shouldn't wear leather shoes. But again, Rabbi Hananiah ben Tardion, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Hachaya, tinel sasandal, he permits a woman who just gave birth to wear leather shoes because she gets cold and she needs to stay warm and healthy. So my time, what's the reason why my time in Melech? Can a king wash his face according to Rabbi Eliezer? It must be, but Gemara quotes, Mishum Dechsid, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Melech biyofyo techazene inecha, the Melech in its beauty, he should be seen, he should always be seen in that way, in the proper way. So therefore, even in Yom Kippur, he must be presented in such a way, and he's allowed to wash his face and clean it. Kala, my time, it was the reason why the Kala is allowed to wash her face in Yom Kippur. Gemara explains, Kadesh lo tiskan al baila, so she shouldn't look disgusting to her husband. He needs at least 30 days where she's always looking presentable with makeup, so he gets comfortable with her. Then after that point, she's allowed to go without putting any makeup. But within the 30 days, it's very, very important that she stay looking presentable and washing her face. Amar le Rav, the Rabbi Chia, I said to Rabbi Chia, Kala ad kama, what's the definition of a Kala? How long does that title last for? Amar le, he says, Kedetani, the Brisa tells us, Ein monim tachshutim minakala kol shloshim yom. You shouldn't hold back any tachshutim from a kala for the first 30 days. Even if she's an avelis, you still have her wear tachshutim during those first 30 days. And there it's therefore so too, but not only by avelis, but also by Yom Kippur, she's allowed to wear tachshutim and wash her face on Yom Kippur. And finally, hachaya tinel as a sandal, a woman who just gave birth, should wear shoes, mishum tzina, because of the cold, she needs to stay warm and healthy. Amar Shmuel says, im machmas sakanas akrev the mutter. If there's a concern of scorpions, the danger of scorpions there, then it's permitted. It sounds like permitted for who? Says Rashi. Im machmas sakanas akrev, he writes here, that makom sheyesh lachosh lakrovim mutter kol adam linol. Everyone's allowed to wear leather shoes in a place where there are scorpions, not only a chaya. Okay, we'll stop here.